Good morning.
Good morning.
Woohoo! You guys blessed?
Yes.
It's good. It's good. Every day is a new day.
It's funny. I always say that to, I don't know, I say it mostly to cashiers and sometimes my customers. I'll say, is this a good day? And they're like, it's all right. I'm like, did you wake up today? And they're like, yeah. I said, so today's a good day. So, it could be otherwise. So. Let's see. It's fun. God does fun stuff, you know, when you're not. We need to expect it of him, but we don't always expect it of him. And we should. It was fun this week. So years ago, I did a teaching for my college group at Fort Worth. And I was reading a scripture, and it was talking about the water and the blood. And I was like, oh, that's like rebirth, because it was talking about Jesus' death. And there were some kids there, and they're like, well, no, you're wrong. It's about this, blah, 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 blah. I said, no. I said, I don't know why. It was just God gave me this revelation. And it was funny. I was talking to somebody this week, or listening to a talk. He was talking, and I was listening. And he said, it's like the water and the blood, and it's a rebirth. And I'm like, that's what I said years ago. There's confirmation that I can hear from God. So it was awesome. It was just like, because it was weird. I mean, I'd read that passage many times, and it was like I read it, and I was like, oh my gosh. I don't remember if it was before or after Gabby was born, but it was like, I understood. I'm like, the blood. And when the guy pierced his side, it was the blood and the water, and it's a sign of our birth, you know. That's when we were born again. The whole purpose of us is to be the bride of Christ. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they stepped out of that perfection, and they could no longer be the bride because they were no longer perfect, because Jesus can't be around sin. And then when Jesus died, then the blood, water and the blood cleansed us, and now we're pure again, and we could be the bride again. So that's awesome. Let's see what I got in my... I think I'll save that for another teaching. It was interesting. I'm going to start in Matthew 17. It's funny because God often brings Matthew 17 up to my brain. And it's funny because I've realized, and I'm like, God, I've already looked at that. I've already read that. And it's neat. As you grow, every time you read something, you get a different word from it. It comes at you in a different way, and that's the way God works. It's powerful, and it gets deeper and deeper. You know, to me, I like God because God is very surface, but then God is also... into our needs, and then he's also into our desires, and then he's into our spirit. You know, it's like when God made us, we're like him. So he wants every part of us desires to be with every part of him. I mean, our being desires to be with him. And so, I mean, it's like, I don't know. That's where I'm at. Thank you, Jesus. Gabby is... we'll do this at the end, but Gabby needs prayer, and she's had strep throat for the fourth time now, and then somebody was kind enough to bring their sick kids to church a couple weeks ago and give her something else, so now she's got a respiratory problem and strep throat at the same time, and then she passed it on to me and to Mary, and so we're all really enjoying that person right now that brought his kids to church. I'm going to read from Matthew 17, and it was interesting because I always go, God, what do you want me to read? What are you going to share with me today? And then, you know, and I hear Matthew 17, 10, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be powerful. This is going to be awesome. And so I read it, and it says, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then do you, the scribes, say Elijah must come first? And I was like, God, that's not powerful. I was like, I thought it was going to be something amazing. And so I kept reading, and it said,
And answering, Jesus said to them, "Elijah indeed comes first, and then shall restore all things. But I say to you, Elijah has already come, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they desired. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer by them." And the disciples understood that he spoke about John the Baptist. And I was like, okay, I mean, that's kind of cool. But I didn't really think about that. And I was like, well, God, I must have didn't hear you right. But, you know, you told me to read that. And okay, great. And then as I was reading this morning, I was praying this morning, I was like, God, where do you want me to read? And he said, I want you to read Luke chapter 1. What's Luke chapter 1 about? It's about John the Baptist. You know, it's the start, it's the story. So Jesus was preparing me. Because it says, let's see. I want to read that. It's interesting in the King James. It adds a little bit. And it says, Elias shall, oh no, it's chapter, it's verse 11. And he shall restore all things. So what was John the Baptist doing? I mean, what was his purpose? He was coming to proclaim Jesus. He was coming to restore what was destroyed in the garden. He's like, here it is. I'm pointing to you what was destroyed in the garden. You are about to be redeemed. And that's what, you know, ever since God came to Abraham. And he's like, you know, I'm going to redeem you. And you know, to Moses and all, Noah and Moses, I'm going to redeem you. And it's happening. So Jesus is coming. He's going to redeem us. So, hallelujah. Sorry, my throat is so froggy this morning. Luke chapter 1. Since many took in hand to draw up an account concerning the matters having been born among us, as those from the beginning delivered unto us, becoming eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good also to me, having traced out all things accurately from the first, to write it in an order to you, most excellent Theophilus. So, it's interesting. He's like, lots of people have already written this down, but I'm going to write it down too. And it's good because if you read the you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they each give a little different. I mean, it's accurate. I mean, they all agree with each other, but it comes from different perspectives. And he wrote it down, and it's amazing because we can go, yeah, these all came from different people, and they weren't all hanging out together, so they didn't all just kind of go, hey, I'm going to write this part, and you write this part. They all got the Holy Spirit inspired them as to what to write. And this is Luke's interpretation, or not interpretation, this is Luke's recollection of what happened. that you may know the certainty concerning the words which you were taught. So he's like, you know, it's good to know, like when you learn something in the school, you don't understand always where it came from. And it's good to know what the beginning is. And he's like, that's what I like about Luke, is Luke goes, he doesn't even go to Jesus. He goes before Jesus. He goes back to John. Because you got to know, where's the beginning? You know, where did this story start? Why? How do we know that this guy is the Messiah? In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias, and of daily course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and in ordinances of God. And no child was born to them, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their days. That's tough. I mean, Mary and I know what that's like. I mean, you want a kid and it doesn't happen. I mean, it's, you go, God, what's wrong with me? You see people all around, you see people who in human eyes, you go, that person doesn't deserve a child. Why do they have one? We're living for you, God, and that's our pride speaking. You know, I'm just as wicked as they are. But you know, in your flesh, you think, God, why? I'm doing it right, God. I'm doing everything the way you should. Why? You know, this guy was a priest, and his wife was in the line of Aaron. Why would they not have, you know, I mean, God said children are a blessing. Why would they not have had children? And they were getting old, and, you know, when you get older, you just give up things. Like Mary goes, she thinks she gives up. I'm like, God can do anything. He can fix anything that's broken. I'm still expecting to fix my eyes. He has not yet, but I'm expecting him to do it. Whether he will or not, that's just my desire. He may have a purpose for me to be blind. It gets worse and worse. It used to be like, oh, I can kind of see that. Now I'm like, yeah, I can't see that at all now. So for all of those of you that have been suffering that a long time, I apologize, because it's only been 2 years for me. And it's it's awful. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you guys have had to live for that for so long. And it happened in his service as a priest in the order of his course before God, according to the customs of the priests, entering into the temple of the Lord. It was Zacharias' lot to burn incense. And all the multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And seeing this, Zacharias was troubled, and fear fell on him. I've always wondered my entire life, what would I do if an angel showed up to me? I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be afraid or if I'd just be in awe or excited. I assume it would probably be fear, but I would like to think it wouldn't. I would like to think I'm better than that. I'm like, yes, God sent an angel to talk to me. That's awesome. But the angel said to him, do not fear, which is what they always say when they meet somebody. Zacharias, because your prayer was heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son to you, and you shall call his name John. And he will be a joy and an exultation to you, and many will rejoice over his birth. For he shall be great in the eyes of the Lord, and he shall not drink wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled of the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. So that's interesting. So I assume that John was probably the last guy that was filled with the Spirit before Jesus died. Every time God used somebody in the past, he would show up and he'd fill them with his Spirit and then he'd use them. But now that we have Jesus in us, his Spirit is just in us. And that's awesome. We don't have to, we just have to accept God and the Spirit comes into us. And that's neat. So in the old days, you had to be picked of God. Now we just have to, God picked us all. And we just have to go, God, yeah, I want to be with you. I want to be your vessel. I won't go into that because I'm still mulling over that in my head and praying about it. But it's about, I'll say it and then I'll just, somebody mentioned to me that there's the called and the called out, and I don't know if there's any difference. And I was like, well, I'll have to pray about that. Because I'm like, so does that mean there's multiple levels of people in heaven? And I'm like, that was my fear. I'm like, I just want to get into heaven. I don't really want to have a hierarchy. You know, I wasn't really worried about how many jewels are in my crown. But I'm like, but I do want to be rule and reign with God. I think that's awesome. So, and he will go out before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. So remember what we were reading in Matthew. And turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient ones to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready the people having been prepared for the Lord. All right, so we have the Spirit in us. Do we have the Spirit in us? Can we go and turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children? Yes. Yeah, and the disobedient ones, we can show them wisdom. It's good, and what is it? How does the Bible tell us to share truth? It's in love, and it's hard because when somebody's coming at you, you have to be dead to yourself. Because when someone's coming at you and yelling at you and cussing you out and telling you you're an idiot, it's hard to love that person. You just want to rain down holy fire on them. You know, it's like, you're like, don't you know who I am? I was reading somewhere this morning, and it was talking about, I think it was in Romans, and it was talking about being, you know that you have God in you. That doesn't give you any reason to be proud about it, you know, because anybody who gives their life to Christ has God in them. So it's like your faith isn't greater than anybody else's faith, because your faith is God's faith. There's a fellow that I listened to on the radio, and he said something, and it astounded me, because I'd never thought about it before. Let's see if I can remember. He was talking about why not to swear an oath. Don't swear an oath. And he read the scripture, and he explained it, and he kind of explained it, and it was like, it came alive to me. You don't swear an oath because you can't swear by heaven, because heaven is not yours. You can't swear by earth, because earth is not yours. You can't swear by the hair on your head, because the hair on your head is not yours. So you can't swear by anything, because it doesn't belong to you. You have no right to say, I promise this to do this. That's why we cannot swear by something, because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And we can't offer something of God's to somebody else for our needs. So, and Zechariah said to the angel, by what shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is advanced in her days. Man, he was being nice. He said he was old, and he just said she's advanced. And answering, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands before God, and I was sent to speak to you and to announce. It's interesting that he was questioning. He's like, I am old. It's like, yeah, but he's an angel sent from God. It's like he can do whatever he wants. He parted the Red Sea. He had Noah build an ark, and he saved them. You know, it's like, you're a priest. You should know this. God can do whatever he wants. And that's what's exciting to me is like, my eyes are failing. I expect God to fix my eyes. Why? Because God can do whatever he wants. The thing is whether or not God wants to do it. And I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you the good news of these things. And behold, you shall be silent and not be able to speak until the day in which these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Again, I would hope that I would believe the angel, but again, I don't know. It's like, kind of like, hey, God, can you send out an angel to test this theory? Will I be scared, and will I believe him? But I think we've had enough stories that we just do it. And God and the people were expecting Zacharias, and they wondered at his delay in the temple. But coming out, he was not able to speak to them, and they recognized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he was making signs to them and continued dumb. And it happened when the days of his service were fulfilled that he went away to his house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, so has the Lord done to me in the days of which he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So it's good. I mean, it's, yeah. I'll leave that alone too. Sorry, thoughts come to my head and And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who had been betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And entering, the angel said to her, hail, one having received grace, the Lord is with you. You are blessed among women. And seeing this, she was disturbed at his word and considered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not fear, Mary, for you have been found favor from God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. It's a good thing that God already gives him the name. Hey, I'm going to do this, but I already have a name picked out. This one will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be, there will be no end. Excuse me. So all the young ladies at this time, they were always sad if they had a girl, because they were expecting to have the Messiah, and so all the women wanted to have a boy. Well, he came to her and she wasn't even pregnant yet, and he's like, "Ah, you're gonna have the boy." So I mean, they didn't see that coming. They were thinking, maybe I'll have the Messiah. I mean, the Jews right now, they think they have the Messiah. There's a young man, his name is David, and they think he's the Messiah. They're like, this guy could be the Messiah. It's like, the Messiah already came. It's like it's so funny because they're so bound up in the scriptures. And it's like, Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. And how can you not see that? It's just because they don't want it, because he didn't fit their picture. And that's what I love about God. God doesn't fit our picture. I told this in Fort Worth a few weeks ago because Mom was talking to somebody. I may have even told it here too, but it was a guy was talking to Mom, and Mom said, Jesus came in a manger. You know, God sent his son to a manger. And he's like, that's ridiculous. Why would God, bring down his son, God's son, and put him in a manger? And it's like, yeah, God is ridiculous. That makes absolutely no sense. I mean, he was born in a stall where animals are kept. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that. And the first people that he sent were the shepherds, which were it's like the trash man nowadays. It's like the worst job you could have, which actually I really respect trash men. I like that they come once a week and take my trash away. But anyways, it's like he was born in a barn, and Jesus went and told, and God went and told shepherds, hey, go worship my son and then tell everybody. That's not what a king does. A king, you're born in a palace and you do, and you herald it to everybody and you send out letters with gold things on it. It's amazing, but because we don't. I like that the fact God uses things that don't seem right, and then he does amazing things with it. That way he can use you and me and Where was I at? Does anybody know? I think it was 31.
4.
Say again.
4.
34. Wow, I went that far already. I'm deaf too, as well as blind. But Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I do not know a man? It's a good question. And answering, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, and the Holy One being born of you will be called the Son of God. So, and behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this will be the sixth month of her, who was called barren for nothing. For nothing is impossible with God. It's crazy how often we forget that, and I try not to ever forget that. It's just like God told me to read in Matthew, and I'm like, why am I reading this thing? I thought I was going to be astounded, and it was just this little thing about John the Baptist. And then today, he wanted me to read about John the Baptist, and it's like, and it was funny because I was like, man, where did I read that? And then he said, remember, it was in Matthew 17. I was like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Are you guys hearing from God every day? Every day?
Yes.
I mean, you should at least hear, I love you, because he says that all the time. But it's like, he wants to be every part of your life. He wants to be, and I used to think that's dumb. I mean, why would God want to be in the mundane? God is so interested in you. I mean, do you not want, for those of you who have kids, do you not want to be in every part of your kid's life? You don't want to help them do things and help them learn them, teach them. You want to be every part of it. That's God. God wants to be in every part of our life. First of all, we're being perfected so that we can be the bride. So, it's he's I don't know. Anyway, I'll keep going. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, the slave of the Lord." It's good. I kind of had this. May it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. It's interesting. To be a slave means that you own nothing and you do what you're told. But it also means that everything is provided for. So normally to be a slave is a bad thing, but to be a slave to God means you don't own anything. It's just like the, it's so funny. That's, I don't know if you guys know the World Economic Forum guy, whatever. He's like, "You will own nothing and be happy." And it's like, yeah, but man can't do that because you just want to turn me into a slave and be your slave. But God will say, "You'll own nothing and be happy," which means I'll give you everything. The World Economic Forum guy doesn't mean I'll give you everything. He means I want you to live in poverty and I'll live in luxury. God means it's just the opposite. So the devil will say the same thing that God says, but he'll mean something different. It's just like when the devil says Black Lives Matter, he doesn't mean Black Lives Matter. He means I want you to be subservient to me. Instead of, these people are precious to me. They don't mean that. They didn't bless those people at all. They just saw an excuse to make a bunch of money and then steal it. You know, it's like, that's man. Man will see a opportunity and take advantage of people. Because people in this country, this is the most generous country on the face of the earth. And people, I believe in that. Those people have a problem. We need to take care of that. And they'll just give. And they don't ask. They don't ask God, what is this person real? This man, God, let God be true and every man a liar. That is amazing how I find that in life. So many men are just liars. All of us, we're all liars. But I mean, if we don't have God in us, we're deceptive and we're evil and we're, I don't know where I was at. Anyway. The devil will twist everything. It's true. The devil twists everything that God does. If God does it, the devil will do it, but then pervert it. And and then he'll try to call it good because you can come in. Never mind. That was me last week or 2 weeks ago. I walked in. There was another church in here. I was like, "Oh, sorry. You guys have a good day." They had some weird Jesus-y thing on the back wall. Why don't we have one of those? It was like, and some guy standing there, and there was rays of gold coming out from him in a big halo. Where am I at? Sorry. I'm probably in the 40s. 38. Thank you. There we go. And the angel departed from her. And rising up in these days, Mary went into the hill country with haste to be in the city of Judah, to a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened as Elizabeth heard Miriam's greeting that the babe in her womb leaped and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, John wasn't the last person. It was Elizabeth before Jesus died and then filled us all with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And from where is this to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" Wow. So the Holy Spirit filled her, and she automatically knew that the Messiah was in Mary's tummy. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, just all that information just whoosh, came into her head, and she knew. "For behold, as the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt with exultation. And blessed is she believing, because there will be a completion to the things spoken to her from the Lord. And Miriam said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit exulted in God my Savior. For he looked upon the humiliation of his bondslave. For behold, from now on all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one did a great thing to me, and holy is his name. Well, some churches make a religion out of that, but we know better. And his mercy is to generations of generations to those fearing him. It's just a little side note. It's interesting that, they'd been waiting for forever for them. Since Adam, they've been waiting for them, because God told Adam, I will rectify this. And Miriam said, my soul magnified the Lord. I'm back at 46. And my spirit exulted, and God my Savior, for he looked upon my humiliation of his bondslave. For behold, from now on, all generations will count to me blessed. For the mighty one did great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is to generations of generations to those fearing him. He performed mightily with his arm, and he scattered proud ones in the thought of his heart. He put down powerful ones from thrones and exalted lowly ones, and he filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away empty, and he helped his servant Israel in order to remember mercy. And even as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. So he's just recounting all the things that God has done. And that's good. We often forget. It's amazing to me how soon the Israelites, they got away from Egypt and they immediately forgot what God did for them. And then God fed them manna, and then he forgot. And it was actually, that's a good point. I said this in Fort Worth, but I'll say it here too. I've talked many times about how it seems that every time I start to get ahead, things just kind of fall apart and I'm back right where I'm at. And I was just kind of randomly praying about that the other day, and God said to me, it's like the Israelites in the wilderness. And the thing is, I could bless you immensely, but what I want you to learn is to trust me to bring what you need every day. So in the wilderness, the Israelites could only collect that day's manna and eat that day's manna, and if they saved it for the next day, it would go rotten. So God is saying to me, I want you to trust me so that I will provide for you every day what you need. And I thought, wow, that's awesome, because my thing is I would like a little saved up, but if you save a little up, it can go bad, And God is just saying, I will provide for you every day. Do not worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. There's James and Matthew talk about the birds and the flowers, and it's like, okay, God, I got it. You're just saying. And it's true. What's ridiculous is, I worked through November and it was a little light, and then December was a little light, and then all of a sudden I just have work pouring in, and I'm going to make great money in December, and I'm going to catch up on everything that was behind. And that's just God. We have a timeline, and we see things we need, and we assume, in our minds we know that God knows what we need. But it's like, God, are you going to ever come through? And stupidly, we forget to trust him, because he always comes through, every time he comes through. And we go, And then again, he proves himself. Yeah, I just wanted you to know that I provide for you every day. Don't worry about it. And it's like, wow, okay. Hallelujah. And Miriam remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her house. So that, I almost wonder why she didn't stay. Because if she was 6 months along, she was about to give birth, because she stayed another 3 months, and so then she would have been 9 months. And the time was full with Elizabeth for her to bear, and she bore a son. And the neighbors and the relatives heard that the Lord magnified his mercy with her, and they rejoiced with her. And it happened on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child and were calling it by the father's name, Zacharias. And his mother answered, saying, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, "No one in among you of your kindred who is called by this name." And they signaled to his father what he might desire to him to be called. And asking for a writing tablet, he wrote, saying, "John is his name." And all marveled, and instantly his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all those living around them in all the hill country of Judea. And those things were talked about. And all who heard laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. So that's awesome. So that's a testimony. I say that to Mary all the time. I don't know if I'm just, you know, just being silly, but Mary will go, "Oh," because some of you may or may not know, we had a miscarriage before Gabby, and we had a miscarriage after Gabby, and so Mary still hung up on the fact that, why didn't God save either of those two children? And so she's always afraid that God's going to take Gabby. I'm like, Mary, Gabby has a calling on her life. There's no reason. I mean, I can't see any other reason in my human mind that he would hang us out for 16 years and then all of a sudden give us a child just randomly with no help from anybody. It's like, that just doesn't work. And it says God opens the womb when he's ready to. And she came out just when she needed to. Life is so precious like that. I mean, she was conceived instantly, just the moment. I mean, that egg and that sperm came together, and if it hadn't been at that time with those, and it just, she wouldn't have been who she is. She has, I mean, I'm like, stop worrying about it. She's Mary's learning to give Gabby up. It's very hard for her because she doesn't.
I have to ask, was she named after the angel
Gabriel? Mary is always like Gabriela as a name, and I wanted Victoria really bad, and she was going to be born around Christmas, and we talked about it, and we wrestled with it, and then I was like, and then I looked up what the name Gabriela means, and it's like mighty some warrior god or something like that, and I was like, oh, okay, and then of course Victoria means, you know, victorious. And so it means more than that. I can't even remember. I'll have to look it up again. But it was like, okay, so Gabriela Victoria it is. So yeah, she is. It was actually what prompted it was I read a story, and there was a little boy who was talking to his parents, and they were talking about a little girl that was going to be born. And then he's like, well, why don't we name her Gabriela after the angel Gabriel? I was like, okay, God, it's Gabriel it is. So I wanted Victoria Abigail. and she lives up to her name, Gabby.
Oh. Wow.
So she is a blessing.
It's interesting that Mary's doubt was not treated in the same way as
Zacharias. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did think about that. That was interesting that she's like, but I haven't known anybody. And then, yeah, it is interesting.
My mom always says that when Mary asked the question, she believed that God was going to do it. When Zacharias asked, he asked without faith, but she asked with faith that, oh, okay, how are you
going to
do this?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So God,
yeah.
It was filled with faith, you know, yeah. And that there's a difference. We can ask God the same question, but anyway.
She wasn't old enough to know better. When we get older, we know we get a lot of doubt in us. Young people are like, oh, you're going to do that? Great. And old people are like, yeah, I've lived too long. That's not going to happen. That's why we're supposed to have the faith of a little child, because little children just believe God's going to do it. I was talking to Mary the other day about that. It was just like kids just, if you say God's going to do something, they just assume that God's going to do it because they don't know any better. They just go, oh, if God's going to do it, he's going to do it. And adults are like, well, this one time I prayed and he didn't do it, or this 20 times I prayed and he didn't do it. Yeah, it's because didn't ask him what to pray for. He didn't, you know, he was giving you something else. It wasn't that he didn't answer your prayer. He just didn't answer the way you thought it should be answered. But it was funny. I think, did I tell you guys about the burping thing? That was hilarious. Gabby's stomach was upset. It was so funny. And I prayed for her. I just put my hand on her stomach. Jesus, heal Gabby because her stomach hurt. And she just belched. And she's like, oh, I feel better. I thought, that's a good witness that she could see that God would answer that prayer immediately. So, hallelujah. But yeah, she expects it. If she prays, she expects God to answer. And that's the way we should be. I always expect God to answer, even if he doesn't. I know he did it in some way that I haven't seen. Because he loves us. And he says, you know, if a father is not going to give a son a stone if he asks for bread, and, you know, he's not going to give him a scorpion if he asks for an egg. That's God. God's our loving Father. How much more is he going to want to bless us? So
my favorite observation in this chapter is that Gabriel said, your prayer is heard.
Yeah.
Like in the present tense.
Yeah.
This prayer that Zechariah had not prayed for 20, 30, 40
right.
years.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah.
That, you know, our prayer is still fresh.
Yes.
On God's heart.
Yeah. It is. It is. Yeah, I know. My testimony with Gabby is, I know probably about 5 years in, God gave me a dream that I was going to have a little girl with blonde curly hair. And I just stood on that, and I kind of wished he'd given one of those dreams to Mary, but he didn't. But I was like, okay, that's it. God gave me a dream of that, and I just saw her running through a field of flowers, and she had curly blonde hair. And when she came out, and she had blonde hair, I was like, oh my gosh. And then it started growing, it was curly, and I was like, oh my gosh. So, I mean, because that's ridiculous. Nobody in our family has blonde hair. But yeah, that's just good. I mean, like, we pray for things and we just need to give it to God. And that's the problem, is we pray for things and then we worry about it. All right, God, are you going to answer? 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 That's just a waste of time. It's like you gave it to God. Just let him do it. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he visited and worked a redemption for his people, and he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, even as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from the age before, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those hating us, to execute mercy with our fathers and to remember the holy covenant and the oath which he swore unto our father Abraham. So I don't know, it's been a while. It's been a couple thousand years. Let's see. I don't know how long it had been from Abraham till now. Let's see. It had been a while. So it's like they had still been holding on to this. To give us, my dad would know. He would have known. He would have had it mapped out perfectly. It had been 4,726. No, it wasn't that long, because I guess it's up to Noah was it 2,000 up to Noah, and then probably 2,000 to Jesus, and then 2,000 to now. Don't quote me on that. That's just kind of a rough. Maybe it was 1,000 to Noah. I can't remember. Him without fear and in consecration, the righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And your child will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give a knowledge of the salvation to the people by forgiveness of their sins, through the tender bowels of mercies of God, in which the dayspring from on high will visit us, and to appear to those sitting in the darkness and the shadow of death, to direct our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the deserts until the day of his showing to Israel. So,
super cool.
John the Baptist. You know, that was awesome. That I mean, that's why I always wonder who the two people are going to be in Revelations. I always thought it was going to be Dad and Robert. Did not end up being that. So from time to time, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it seems like we're getting close to the end time. So it seems like we should be. It's funny because I did things in life based on the fact that I always thought we were going to be close to the end times. But the problem is I didn't listen to God. I need to listen to God. Hey, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I don't need to assume that I know the things. I need to listen to you. The only thing we need to do is, you know, make ourselves ready. We're going to be the bride of Christ. And time is not even important. So when it happens or when it doesn't happen, thank you, sir. Well, good. Today was awesome. I love it when you guys speak out, because like I said, iron sharpens iron, and we all have words, and we wrestle with things, and Scripture always brings clarity to confusion. I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to do the thing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Gabby Halverson and Shiloh Halverson and Gabby Borchard. And we pray that they receive healing from you, Lord, because sickness doesn't belong in our body. We want to be whole. And we pray for Edie that her leg heals quickly. Thank you, Father, for everyone that is here. Thank you for their hearts and their desire to be like you, and to hear from you, and to hide your word in their heart so that they can bring it forth as when it's needed. Thank you for blessing us today. Keep us all safe in our travels, and let everything that comes out of our mouth be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The night when he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body is broken for you." I'm gonna butcher it. So I'm gonna say, "This is a symbolization." So the bread is a symbol of Jesus's body, which was broken. And the blood is a symbol of his blood that was shed, so that our sins would be washed away. And we do this so that we remember, because it's good to remember, because we forget so easily. You wouldn't think so for such a great thing, but we do. So that's why it's good to remember what Jesus did for us and to keep it in remembrance, because life can be distracting. So thank you, Father, for sending your Son to be broken and pierced for us so that we could spend eternity with you and be your bride. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And now let's take of the body. And let's take the blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.